Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 354. As this week, we bring you the first hour of WCW Great American Bash 1995. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I'm joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Mr. Jim Valley. Jim has been celebrating his birthday and having a lovely week with his wife, Carrie, down in Mexico, where they got married years ago, by the way. Filling in for Jim Valley is Creative Control's own superstar, Mr. John Paz. John, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, get back to 1995, and be magically whisked away to Ohio?
Yes. Can't wait to go to the Hara Arena down in Dayton, Ohio. Thank you, by the way, for having me back again. I believe this is the fourth time I've been back on the show. I believe so, yes. So,
gosh darn it.
Thank you, man. This is great. Love it.
You deserve it. John, among his many other fine features, he works very hard, does a number of podcasts, but he always answers the call.
That's how you
make the big bucks. All right, so let's see the business of how we're doing on the charts. Wayback Playback up the Apple Podcast charts in the U.S., Great Britain, and Canada this week. Down in Australia and Ireland. Not sure why, but thank you. Those of you who keep us on the charts at all, we really, really appreciate it. You know, trying to stay relevant in 2021 in the wrestling business is actually, I don't care about staying relevant. I just want lots of people downloading it. You know,
hey, that sounds good to me. Makes sense.
All right. Oh, yeah. And happy Father's Day. If you want to join our Patreon, sign up at patreon.com/waybackplayback. There's three tiers to choose from. You can get all the old shows. You can get shows in advance of when they go up on the regular podcast feed. And the shows you get in advance have no commercials in them, which I hope some of you will appreciate. So feel free to do that. Patreon.com/waybackplayback. John, you have a Patreon as well. Might as well get that in.
Yes. Patreon.com/TMPTEmpire. You got the vault. We have old interviews in there from Dusty Rhodes to Jerry McDivitt, who's Vince McMahon's lawyer. Honky Tonk Man, got an old interview with Cody Rhodes, got a bunch of good stuff on there, plus Taskmaster Talks, Pro Wrestling 101, University of Dutch with Dutch Mantel, Taking You to School. Got so much content on there, so check it out, patreon.com/TMPTEmpire.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get back to where we were at this point in time. June 18th, 1995. By the way, the vote this time, just a runaway win for Great American Bash 95. And maybe it's the Father's Day tie-in. I don't know. But maybe it's just the desire to see a Great American Bash other than 2004.
That's that could be possible. It as well. Plus, maybe there's some WCW nostalgia going on right now, you know?
Yeah.
25 years plus later, maybe there's some more nostalgia going on for WCW.
That could be it. Okay, so, yeah, we're in Dayton, Ohio at the Hare Arena. 6,000 in attendance, 5,218 paid. The building was set up for 6,000, so... technically a sellout. Now, of course, remember WCW in 19 after skipping 93 and 94, they bring back the Great American Bash, and they make it a B show, which, by the way, is totally different from when WWE brought back the Great American Bash in 2004 and made that a B show. For some reason, it's completely different.
Thing is, here too, why did they not run it in 93 and 94. It was very interesting. I was kind of curious. Like, it was such a staple, such a big thing. Was that just like a slap in the face of Dusty? Like, hey, we're going to stop using your pay-per-view names? I don't know, weird.
What happened was, I think in after 92, they decided we're going to combine the Great American Bash with Beach Blast. And bam, you have Bash at the Beach. Or, well, 93 was 93. They just did Beach Blast, I think, and then 94 they did Bash at the Beach.
Yeah,
which I guess was their way of tying it back. And so, of course, for 95, this being WCW, they do the Great American Bash and Bash at the Beach. Okay,
yes, because this is kind of when Bischoff was basically like, "Hey, we're going to do 12 pay-per-views," or really expand, and he wanted to do more pay-per-views. More and more each year.
Yeah, and there was a story going around at this point and on through the summer and into early fall that Vince was planning to do weekly pay-per-views. Literally, and this is where Shotgun Saturday Night came from. Like, he was going to do a Saturday night pay-per-view every week. One hour.
Yeah.
Like, so kind of like what he, an In Your House.
Interesting. He's going to take the In Your House. He couldn't get anybody to buy In Your House, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what he figured out.
Yeah.
In Your House didn't. Yeah. So In Your House is starting about that time. I mean, it didn't start until May of 95. But yeah, that's true. That's what's happening. Okay. The other shows. Okay. We'll talk about the Great American Bash in a minute. The previous night it was WCW Saturday Night, was on TBS. That's the flagship show. It had been taped June 7th at Center Stage, airing June 17th. The main event is the Nasty Boys defending the tag titles against the Blue Bloods. If you're on the Patreon, we are going to watch that and review it. And you can check that out there. I guess spoilers for a show that's 26 years old. The match ends in a no contest when Harlem Heat interferes. So that sets up the tag title match we're going to have on this show. Also, Buff Bagwell was scheduled to be on the show against Craig Pittman. Bagwell is off the show with a leg infection caused by a problem with his calf implants. And yes, people on the internet/newsletter crowd were making fun of Bagwell for this in 95. Yes, they were.
Isn't that crazy? Like, think about it in your head, like, calf?
Calf implants?
Calf implants? What the
hell? I know that they're a thing, in 2021. There are people who get them, but,
But for guys? Seems like more of like a female thing.
Okay. I don't have to understand it. All right. But, there were no other... they did a two-hour WCW Saturday Night, but that's really the only match of any note that was on there is Nasty Boys and the Blue Bloods. Meanwhile, the previous show for New Japan was at Budokan Hall on June 14th. They drew 16,000 people, and yes, WCW guys were there. In fact, the WCW trio of Arn Anderson, Steve Austin, and Mike Enos lost to Akira Nogami, Takayuka Iizuka, and Junji Harada at Budokan Hall. But it was a sellout crowd. The main event of the New Japan show at Budokan Hall was the Great Muta defending his IWGP title against Hiroshi Tenzan, and that went well. You're wondering what WWF was doing on June 18th?
Yes.
They had one show going on. They're in Wels, Austria. Wels, W-E-L-S. I don't know how it's pronounced. In front of 2,500 people. And if you were there on that Sunday, you got to see The Undertaker defeat Kama, the Supreme Fighting Machine, a.k.a. Papa Shango, a.k.a. Charles Wright, a.k.a. The Godfather. And Bret Hart defeated Hakushi.
Ooh, that was probably a good one.
Yeah.
They did a lot of international tours. I mean, they were struggling here in the States. Man, they did a lot of international tours in the mid-90s.
Yeah, but I mean, they were also doing shows here. Because that weekend, the previous day they did a show in Anaheim, and that show was kind of hurt by the fact that Kevin Nash and Scott Hall were both out due to injury. Nash ended up in Bam Bam, Diesel ended up in Bam Bam Bigelow's corner for his match, and Razor, I forget who replaced Razor, but he was supposed to wrestle and he was out. So, and I don't think they offered refunds either. I believe if you were around for the A show, instead of Diesel versus Sid in the cage, you got Bam Bam Bigelow versus Sid in the cage. which probably was a better match, but still.
I was going to say, probably like happy with it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and Shawn Michaels was on the European tour. Shawn Michaels was working IRS, I believe. Which, again, probably a good match. Okay. Meanwhile, the night before, ECW is at the ECW Arena in front of 1,150 people for a show that I believe ended up being called Barbed Wire, Hoodies, and Chokeslams. Scorpio and Taz, in a handicap match, defeat the Pitbulls and Raven. The Raven and the Pitbulls had injured Tommy Dreamer early in the show, so it was a 3-on-2 match, but doesn't matter. Good guys won anyway. The important thing that was Tommy Dreamer didn't get a win over Raven. That's the storyline. In the main event, a barbed wire match for the ECW title. Sandman beats Cactus Jack. And working the opening match as the New Jersey Devil under a hood, Doug Gentry, ladies and gentlemen.
Get out of here.
Doug Gentry. And then, yes, since he was dressed in a New Jersey hockey jersey, 911 came out and chokeslammed Doug Gentry.
Oh. I did not know that about Doug. Wow, that's pretty cool.
That is. Okay, Smoky Saturday night, Morristown, Tennessee, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And Smoky Mountain Wrestling is circling the drain here in June 1995. But it is alive. If you were there, you got to see Steve Armstrong beat Smoky Mountain champion Buddy Landell by disqualification. And in the main event, a non-title street fight, the Rock and Roll Express defeated the team of Al Snow and Unabomb, better known to wrestling fans as...
Kane,
yes. Well, actually, soon be taken up as Dr. Isaac Yankum, but yeah, Kane. Yeah, Al Snow and Kane were Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions together. And they were good.
Very good.
Let's see. Mid-South Coliseum, they were just recovering from doing their Memphis Memories 2 show on June 10th in Memphis and drew about 3,500 people to watch the Fabulous Ones win the Best of Memphis Tag Team Tournament. It doesn't sound so bad, actually. Okay.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Jim, quick update on the Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Obviously, we've got all 352 episodes up there for your pleasure, as those of you who are enjoying the show. That includes everything that we've done from when we were behind the paywall. That's, almost 7 years of us doing shows.
Incredible.
Absolutely, and it's all there on our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Plus, you get these shows without commercials in them, commercials like this very one, for example. Plus, you get these shows in advance of when they go up on our ordinary podcast network, on the Creative Control Network. And if you sign up for the Black Scorpion tier, you get bonus matches and bonus shows that are not part of the regular episode, including a show that Jim and I have been working on now, a bonus show from September of 1993 covering WCW Saturday Night, of all things.
It's a great show. It's really fun.
Yes. Yeah, so we're having fun. We want you to join us. It's patreon.com/waybackplayback, and everything's on there is simple. Email us with questions, and we'll be glad to help you with anything you want. We're absolutely available we're absolutely available to change the entire Patreon for people who make payments.
Absolutely, whatever you need.
That's right. And you can meet Michael Saget. That'll be great.
We'll stand on our head to make you a deal.
That's true. We have no reasonable. We will accept all reasonable offers. Patreon.com/waybackplayback. Okay, John, the first hour of this show, it's going to run a little bit short unless we add something to it. Now, WCW main event takes place before the show, right?
Yep.
Yes. We don't, those matches have been scrubbed from the internet like a Mike Lindell documentary about the insurrection. I mean, they are gone. I mean, they do not exist. However, the one match that looked most interesting out of that bunch, Harlem Heat and the Fantastics, and Harlem Heat and the Fantastics wrestled each other before. As a matter of fact, just type in Harlem Heat versus the Fantastics on your YouTube and pick your version of it. I think we're going to go with the February 25th, 1995 version from WCW Pro, which is on there under, I believe, Droppling, is the user who did that. And thank goodness for YouTube users, or we'd never get to watch wrestling at all. It just seems that way.
Very true. Very, very true.
Especially good shows. Wrestling. Yes, shows like this. Okay, I've just got to get through a bunch of ads about random campers and stuff. There we go. All right. Okay. Yeah, I'm at 0 seconds, and I got the wide shot of some arena somewhere in the southeast United States. Let me know when you're there.
Yep, I am here.
Okay, so we're gonna watch. The version of Harlem Heat versus the Fantastics on main event wasn't very good, according to Dave Meltzer. I'm guessing it's because it was short, because it was, you know, it was done as the opening match of WCW main event plugging the pay-per-view. And it was sort of added at the last minute on top of that. A story which I will tell once we get rolling. Let's all go ahead and hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Okay. Here we go. Oh, yeah. This is for the World Tag Team titles. Okay, so they had the titles at this time. They do not have them during the pay-per-view. And here they are, yes. Tommy Rogers, Bobby Fulton, the Fantastics. I got to admit, they looked a little... They looked younger on the 86 Crockett Cup stuff that we did.
What do you think about them in 1995?
I was happy to see them. And the reason that they were on the pay-per-view main event is... They'd cut a deal with Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, who had a day off from Smoky Mountain, who were going to come in and work Harlem Heat work Harlem Heat. But apparently, once Ricky and Robert found out they were coming in to work the TV show and not the pay-per-view, A, and B, they were going to have to put over Harlem Heat, they canceled, and asked for more money. So of course, WCW called the Fantastics.
Makes sense.
And look. Sting and Randy Savage are here.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, well, that sounds interesting. Actually, Sting and Savage versus Harlem Heat on WCW Saturday, on that episode of WCW Saturday Night, sounds more interesting than some of the stuff on the Great American Bash 95, but that's a tale for another time.
Yeah, that actually sounds pretty awesome to me.
Yeah. Which now I'm wondering why I don't remember that. Because I know I was watching at this point. Okay, here we go. All right, it's Gordon Solie and Bobby Heenan doing commentary?
Yes, which is awesome and random. How come the Fantastics weren't the Fantastics in Smoky Mountain?
How come they weren't in Smoky Mountain?
The real Fantastics. How come it was Jackie Fulton instead of Tommy Rogers?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing Johnny Fulton worked cheaper. Be my guess. Okay, there we go. All right, the WCW tag titles are on the line, and we're at some random arena. Oh, I'll go look. I can go look it up, I guess. All right, but they're set to go here. So yeah, this is a match where they're getting enough time. So whatever they're going to do, it's going to be more interesting. Oh, there we go. Trying to back them down. I also like that. Unlike what we saw on a recent Patreon episode, they're Booker and Stevie Ray and not Kane and Cole. That was, man.
The original name, yes.
Yes. The real names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the Fantastics here, I just love WCW. They would bring in, like, Rock and Roll Express randomly, Fantastics randomly. You just always get random matches, but they were always, usually for the most part, pretty good. But it's just one of those things where it's like, wow, randomly showing up WWE for a small period of time and then gone.
Well, I might as well go through some of the stuff that was going on at the Great American Bash. allegedly, if you can believe the newsletter reports. First of all, if you were in the Dayton area for this show, the Steiner brothers were advertised locally in Dayton. They, of course, were not there. They would come back, but you know, not
they were in Japan, right? Weren't they at that point?
I don't know where they were, but they weren't. They weren't at the show. I mean, they. Yeah, I guess they were in Japan. Oh, there we go. They look enough like the Fantastics.
Athletic, still got it, Bobby Fulton.
Right. And you know about Bob, bet Booker and Stevie appreciated that. I'm not saying that they had to work with a bunch of clods, but you know, sometimes they did.
Yes. Oh,
there we go. All right.
They were for a long time the Ric Flair of the tag division. They were just working with everybody and trying to get everybody over. You know, they'd lose the title, win the title, lose the title, win the title, but basically the Flair of the tag division.
Yeah, they were the tag team division more or less for like 5 years before they finally broke up Booker and Stevie. And then put them back together and broke them up again. You know how it works.
Yep.
Oh, there we go. And the one count. About that. Time to tag.
And what did you think about Cherry with Harlem Heat?
It worked for me. I mean, she wasn't going to be, you know, Flair was gone, so she had to work with somebody. And I think she added something to the act and didn't really, you know, didn't really take away from it. I mean, Sherry's great. We've seen Sherry do so much, you know, we've seen like shows from 1989 where Sherry and Savage were like carrying everybody else in the match. You know.
Yep.
They worked Dusty and Sapphire at WrestleMania 6, which was, you know, just incredible if you go back and watch. I mean, yeah, you know, Sherry with the right person or the right team is always a good fit. And there was no women's wrestling in WCW to get in the way here. So
right
there we go, double drop kick. Hey,
nice.
Yeah.
Initially, I was like, wow, Sister Sherry Martel with Harlem Heat. Like on paper, like yeah, it's not going to work, but it worked.
Yeah, it did. They had
good chemistry. She worked with them.
I mean, it worked better than Missy Hyatt with the Nasty Boys. That never made any sense.
No. Definitely not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Make it look good.
Yeah. He teased you there with a nice nice kick.
Okay. All right. There's Tommy Rogers. And Tommy Rogers would end up in original ECW. Oh, no. That's a miss. Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. These guys, this is their shot here.
Wow. Yeah,
we're working Damn. TV. Working oh, TV in the big kick. Time. Let's show what we got.
Wow, drop kick from the apron to the floor. I mean, that's pretty impressive there by Bobby Cole. That was awesome. And the crowd is loving it. And Harlem Heat's giving them a lot in the match, too.
Show, yeah.
Yeah, wow, they are giving them a lot.
Mm-hmm. They probably grew up on the Fantastics, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they're historians. Yeah. They're big wrestling fans. They know, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh, Dusty, yeah. Oh, Dusty's in there, too, saying, yeah, this is a great matchup. Well, Dusty knows. You know? All right, so yeah. The Rock and Roll Express, obviously, weren't, they didn't make it.
They had other commitments.
Other commitments, yeah. So it's Harlem Heat versus the Fantastics. Road Warrior Hawk, he was supposed to show up in Dayton and do an angle on on the main event and then be on the pay-per-view wrestling Bunkhouse Buck. He no-showed completely. So that's how you got the Harlem Heat Harlem Heat ending up wrestling, working the pay-per-view against Bunkhouse Buck and Dick Slater. And, that's... Also, Hulk Hogan showed up on WCW main event, and they teased that that Vader challenged him for it to wrestle at the Great American Bash. They teased that match was going to happen. However, Hogan was not on the pay-per-view because if he had been, WCW would have had to pay him $300,000 as part of his contract, and they weren't going to do that. So yeah, they teased Hogan versus Vader would take place impromptu at the Great American Bash, which, you know, people should have known better. But, they no Hogan at all.
I was just literally probably maybe a couple weeks ago talking to Kevin Sullivan about that, and he was kind of saying a bit of a bait and switch by WCW. Yeah, looking back, it was kind of like cheap of them, but to get some pay-per-view buys, they basically kind of intimated that Hogan and Vader were going to have a match at the pay-per-view. And right, I mean, right in the midst of that big feud that lasted for months. So kind of, it basically admitted it was a bait and switch. They really were trying to tease you like you were really going to get that match. And obviously that match is not on the pay-per-view. The main event is Savage against Flair.
Right. Nothing wrong with Savage against Flair, but yeah. It would have, that would have been a hook there.
Yep.
All right. Oh, so on main event, okay, so other matches on main event, the night of the Great American Bash, it was Sergeant Craig Pittman defeating Chris Kanyon in a short match, and Bunkhouse Buck and Dick Slater defeat the team of Frankie Lancaster and Barry Houston, two fine young men, and then they did the angle to set up Harlem Heat versus Buck and Dick,
that it actually was not Chris Kanyon in that match?
It wasn't?
It was actually Scott D'Amore, and they mistakenly called him Chris Kanyon. So I have no idea why, but yeah, that's a funny thing that me and Big Kev were discussing. Just a mistake, and nobody caught it. Nobody cared to catch it for whatever reason.
Nobody noticed that. Did Scott D'Amore look like Chris Kanyon back then?
No, not at all. Okay. Scott D'Amore still looks like Scott D'Amore of today.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, Pittman won, and which again, it doesn't make any sense to have a guy win on main event when he's supposed to wrestle on the pay per view too. But okay. It's WCW. You know, there's usually bigger things to complain about.
So Harlem Heat does double duty that night. Pittman does double duty, and Dick Slater and Bunkhouse Buck do double duty.
Yes.
Is that really overkill? Is that necessary to have all those guys do double duty?
I guess so. I guess they didn't bring in. I guess they didn't bring in enough people to fill the three short matches you need for main event. Well, actually, maybe they did, but they needed. They needed to do something to set up Heat and Buck and Dick. So,
set up it perfectly for later.
I don't understand why Craig Pittman, you know, needs to work a match on the pay per view in addition to, you know, geez.
Yeah, 2 minute squash match and then he's
look at that! Holy cow! Wow. They double drop kicked him from opposite corners, and that's not the finish, of course.
Stevie Ray broke it up.
Well, good. That's what Stevie Ray's supposed to do. All right, what are they setting him up for now? Oh, backdrop.
Nice.
All right.
Hey, tell you what, Fantastics, February of 95, they still got it.
There's the trip.
Oh, Sherry.
There's the axe kick. There it is. All right.
Elevation on that axe kick. Nice.
That's a beauty right there. Win, 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 win. Okay. Hey. And Harlem Heat hangs on. Hangs on, I say, to the WCW World Tag Team titles.
They gave Fantastics a lot of offense. That shows me that they definitely respect them a lot.
Yep. Yeah, it wasn't the first time they'd worked together.
Yep.
So, yep.
Surprised the Fantastics didn't get a contract after that. You know what I mean? You see that effort? Yeah. Got a contract.
I don't know. There's a lot of things you can ask about. What was WCW thinking at that time? And I think that's one of them. Okay, and there we are. So now it's time to start. It's time to get on Peacock or the WWE Network if you're outside the U.S. and get to the Great American Bash. I got to 1 second in and I have a black screen. How are you doing, John?
I'm at 0000 in a black screen.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know how it didn't go to the 1 second.
I wouldn't let me. Yeah, see. Okay, that's my fault. I could have had it there. Okay, so I got 0 seconds with a black screen. Okay, so we're all set here.
Before you start, though, what do you think about not having Hogan on the pay-per-view? Or were you tricked into thinking he was going to be on the pay-per-view?
As I recall, I was subscribing to The Torch at that point, so I pretty much knew he wasn't going to be. I pretty much knew he wasn't going to be on the show, no matter what they were promising. And you know, the Observer, Dave Meltzer, is telling everybody the same. He's already told people that Hogan's gonna face Vader again at the Bash at the Beach. So, unlikely they're gonna be doing anything serious at the Great American Bash with like no advertising.
When I was a young fan, I ordered the pay per view. Obviously, my dad gave the okay. We ordered the pay per view, and I didn't care because I wanted to watch Savage versus Flair. And Sting versus Ming. So I was all in, despite no Hogan.
Right. the two big matches. Yep. Those are they hooked you. That's the important thing. All right, everybody, are we ready? We are going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Okay, here we go. And up, oh, there we go. Flag waves for glory. En Español, también. WCW's in Dayton, Ohio, the heart of America.
I always love their voiceover guy, whoever that is. He has a great voice.
Yeah. Underappreciated, whoever it was. All right, it's time for the finals of the U.S. of the United States title tournament. Sting versus Ming. Yay. I kind of like Ming getting the push this once.
Yeah, me too, because I was like, man, he's such a badass. Pretty cool he's getting a bit of a push here. Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Arn Anderson's taking on the boy. Renegade. Oh, mama, I'm in fearful. No. It's also not Lorenzo Lamas. Nasty
Great
Boys
show.
And Blue Bloods.
Great show, by the way.
Yes.
Do you think Hogan really thought people were going to think that was the Ultimate Warrior? I'm always thinking, like, what was the thought process behind that?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, there were so many rumors about what had happened to the Ultimate Warrior, though, that he, you know, throw a little smoke, see what happens. I'm sure he wanted his win back against Yokozuna, but, you know. All right, there it is.
Wow, yeah, what a great fireworks display here.
I mean, they got the wide shot and they got the fireworks. This is good.
Nice. Maybe AEW could have taken notes on that.
Yep. Now, I'd also like to point out the big story that's... Oh, hi. Hi, whoever you are. The road to Nastyville goes through Dayton. I'm not from Dayton, but sure. Why not?
Yes. I love the brains glasses here.
Yep. Looks brainy.
Nice. Right. He almost looks like Bockwinkle right there, just with those
glasses.
You know,
he kind of does.
Yeah.
Oh, and if I remember correctly, Tony Schiavone's coming off neck surgery, and he made the show.
Yes, because I believe he missed Slamboree, I believe. I think Bischoff was on the call.
Yeah. That sounds right.
You can tell his neck's very stiff.
Yeah,
he can barely move, yeah.
Poor guy.
It's a shame that these two actually did not like working with each other. That's kind of
odd. And there was trouble between them, you know, at the end too.
Yeah,
it is odd. I mean, yeah, I mean, but he talks about, yeah, he did talk about how funny Heenan was, and I think he was the one who told that story about Heenan walking in, getting them in the Yankee Stadium, and getting into Steinbrenner's office, which was hilarious.
It's just crazy because it's like Heenan's so good, Schiavone's so good, but I don't know, they just didn't mesh. Not as far as on screen, off screen, they didn't mesh.
Yeah.
On screen, they did.
All right. Happy Father's Day, everybody. This is why you're listening to this. This is why you're watching this match, believe it or not. The opener.
You think that people that don't know, like, I have never seen this show before and they're watching it for the first time, you think that they're going to be surprised by this match? Because obviously we've seen it. We know what's
going to
be. Do you think that the fans are going to be surprised?
I think so. I think, you know, I mean, I'm floored by, you know, Jim and I are floored by the number of people who, you know, tune in the podcast, who are seeing some of this stuff for the first time. You know, I think it's great.
They're going to be pleasantly surprised then, I think.
I think so. There's like, oh, look, some fan was, he did the Hollywood Blonde.
Yeah.
He was like, that's great. Yeah.
Obviously not for the camera. He did that specifically for that one fan, but that's
whoever
great.
That one fan is.
Yeah.
All right. And here we go. Now, apparently Ric Flair and his buddies thought the Alex Wright dancing routine was hilarious.
Yeah. And Flair was supposedly like really, really high in Alex Wright. Thought he was great.
Yeah, well, I mean, if just on the basis of this match, you know, yeah.
I think people think like, oh, Alex Wright, jokey gimmick. He was actually really good in the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Second generation wrestler. He's very sound. Yeah. I mean, look at that athletic ability. And he's huge. I mean, he's probably, 6'3"? I mean, he's a big dude.
He is, but he does, you know, he looks, he looks skinny next to a lot of the other, you know.
Right. Yes.
Bigger wrestlers. Yes. But against Pillman, that's no problem. Yeah.
funny. Pillman at this point too. They're like putting him in openers like crazy. Yeah,
babyface. I think they were trying to make him. Were they trying to make him California Brian at this point, or Baywatch Brian? I think they
didn't know what to do with him at this point. Like
they absolutely didn't know what to do.
They didn't know what they had, and he probably, you know, in his head is thinking, okay, what can I do to get over? And obviously, slowly but surely, months later, developing the loose cannon gimmick. But I feel like, you know, at this point, he's kind of like lost or lost in the shuffle. I know Flair's on his side and he likes him, but it's just lost in the shuffle gimmick wise.
Right. Well, yeah. And, you know, and Flair would help him out in the fall and, you know, get him involved in some important stuff. Oh, a lot. Big Al Snow fan in the, in there. Right. Heenan's telling everybody Pillman was a horrible football player. Thanks, Bobby. Al Snow will bash you.
Great chain wrestling here.
Oh, there's that one WCW fan who's at every show in the pink in the front row.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I guess he's the WCW equivalent of Vladimir, but he's always there for the major shows.
Did you ever see that documentary on Vladimir, or did that not come out yet?
I didn't see that one, but I
supposedly they did one for either.
I have two small children. There's a lot of things I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, true. True. Good point. I feel your pain there.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
I think they did a. For the corner. But hey, I believe they did a super fan documentary on Vladimir.
Perfect. Well, he's the right guy for it. Okay. I mean, you've got the discriminating, you know, front row gang getting on their feet already.
I feel like this crowd is hot for this.
Oh, yeah, they're excited about being here.
Yeah. Dayton and Ohio in general, usually for the most part, has good wrestling fans. Like, they're not going to sit on their hands. I mean, they're pretty into it usually.
Okay, so I watched some of the stuff leading up to this show on the TV, on the syndicated shows, like Pro and Worldwide. They're plugging a big win a trip to the Great American Bash contest. In order to win, you have to send in a picture of you showing how much you look like one of the WCW wrestlers.
Oh, I like that.
Yes, and of course you get that. You and your guests get magically whisked away to Dayton for the show, which is fine. But
wow, what a great trip.
Well, hey, I mean, if you're going to see the show, I mean, you know,
you're not going to.
To see Tootsie's, the sights and date.
Tootsie's Bar and Grill, yeah.
Yeah. But will it surprise you if I tell you that the guy who won, he was chosen, he was dressed like Bubba Rogers.
Really?
Yes. Now, it's going to be hard for you to pick him out because there are several people in this crowd who look like Bubba Rogers.
That was just running through my head. I didn't want to be rude, but that was running through my head. Yes. I feel like a lot of wrestling fans look like Pepe Alvarez.
Oh, okay. That's a
That's
a subtler version of the leapfrog spot.
Yep.
It looks like they got crossed up there somewhere,
but they made it look so good.
That's Pillman and Alex and Alex Wright's good.
Yep. Oh, I love in these reversals.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Crowd get into it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get, I mean, that's why you start off with a hot match. Because, you know, people are going to be into the, you know, people are going to be excited for the first match, whatever it is.
Tell them the shoulders are down. Come on. Come on, Pee Wee.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Match has been great so far. Yeah, sorry. Right. Slow it down, Pillman. He's a high flyer. Got to slow it down. Slow down the pace.
Yep.
Grind it out.
You have to send a picture of your father who looks like showing that he looks like a
superstar.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, I can see that. Rest holds. You don't see that too much anymore with the rest holds.
Oh, yeah, but Tony promised we'll get to see this fan later on in the show.
Oh, what a move by Pellman.
So stay tuned, folks.
Oh, what a move.
My dad looks like Big Bubba Rogers. That's
oh, look at this reversal by
Alex Wright into the
Boston Crab. Wow.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and Heenan actually pointing out that the Pillman's had knee operations, which I don't know how much he knew, but the guy played in the NFL. Of course, he had knee injuries.
Yes.
Yep. All right, here we go. Whoa. Oh, no, can't hold it. Okay, good. That's good. Go back, you know. Don't just sit there looking like you blew the spot.
Right.
Something else. Yeah.
So that's, again, maybe a little bit of a, not screw up, but a little bit of a mess up there, and they covered it up again well.
I'm going to go out on a huge limb and say Pillman's calling this match.
Yes. Okay. The 19-year-old Alex Wright's probably not calling the match. Well, look at all this. One, two. Oh, okay.
It is kind of frustrating that Alex Wright never made it bigger, though. I mean, it's sad what happened to Pillman, obviously. But
yep, yeah, he's only TV champ and tag champ, but he could have been more, Alex Wright.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right. There we go.
That back elbow
breaking down the arm.
That back elbow looked a little stiff.
It did. Yeah, but his nose isn't broken, so.
Nope.
Yeah.
Ask him.
That's an easy way to break somebody's nose. Okay. Yep. What is it? Somebody fan club? I don't know.
Oh, I couldn't see it. Damn it. Probably Randy Pee Wee Anderson fan club.
Oh yeah. Also, Vader said the S word on the main event and didn't get bleeped. when he was going after Nick Bockwinkel. So. Oh, there he goes. Chris Pillman.
Ooh, nice little bump on the floor there.
Yep.
Right in the back of his head. Yeah. Yep. Oh, damn, that's why, because the steps were there. He had to make sure he didn't.
Oh, gosh. That could have gone really badly.
Yep. Okay. Steps not normally there. I know for a brief period of time, obviously, we did have them, but soon thereafter, they'll be gone.
There's none of the old WCW ramp that goes in there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Oh, Pillman's starting to get frustrated. Look at this.
Pillman.
Look at this. Pillman's starting to get frustrated. Look at this. Now he's turning a little bit of heel here. Getting a little angry.
Also, yeah, Pillman's a former Cincinnati Bengal and Miami of Ohio football player. So, yeah, the crowd's going to cheer him over Alex Wright.
Yep. He's showing a little fire here. I love it.
So, supposedly coming out of this show, they were so worried about the bad reaction to Alex Wright that they're talking about turning him heel. Which they got around to a year later, but that's another story.
Yep, and then you do the dance and fool stuff and really get some good heat for it.
Oh.
Oh, face plant.
Okay. Ooh, the Wonder Punk. That's right. He even called him that. That's right. Os Wunderkind. Like... All right.
Heenan, so subtle, but so good.
Brian.
Crowd is behind Pillman here.
Yep, it's starting. So yeah, Eden and Giovanni are doing their own show within a show here.
Yes.
Oh yes. Oh, here we go.
He's really laying in these chops here, Pillman.
Yeah. Yeah, make it look like Wright's taking a beating, yeah.
Yep.
Try to get some sympathy for him. I don't know if that's going to work.
Definitely not. Not in Ohio.
Maybe the people at home are feeling sorry for him.
Pay-per-view buy rate-wise, I know this show does about 100,000.
Right.
The show before it did 110,000, but Bash of the Beach after it, does 180. Do you think that's the Hogan effect? Not having Hogan, you know, in a one-on-one match? Because it seems like whenever he's in the main event, it's probably about, 200,000 easy, usually, for him if he's involved in a one-on-one main event.
I mean, they did a good enough job that wasn't down a whole lot from Slamboree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the blow-off for Hogan and Vader, and it was in a cage. Yeah, it was going to do well. The people who wanted to see Hogan finally beat Vader, the people who wanted to see Vader finally beat Hogan.
Yep.
Or the people who were just curious as to what the heck was going to happen.
According to Vader, he thought at one point he was going over in one of those matches with Hogan. He knew it was going to be a trilogy, and he thought he was going over in one of them. But
they went 6 months, and nope, Vader didn't go over.
Yeah, once. Nope. Even when they had the DQ, which is funny that they had a DQ but uncensored, but Hogan still won that by DQ.
Well, yeah, because Hogan pulled, because Hogan won a strap match with Ric Flair.
Yes.
Just so stupid.
And as the rumor mill goes, I know Hogan had creative control, right. But Flair kind of was in control of the book, and he said, "I want Hogan to lose." Hogan said, "No way."
Yep. Oh, really? Well,
he didn't want to lose. He thought it was too early in his run, which it really wasn't.
It wasn't early at all. It's like a year into his run.
Yeah, almost a year, exactly.
Hogan was not. This is the point where Hogan was not the best at reading the room. You know, he didn't, but he didn't have to be.
Right. That was a great tope, by the way, from right from the outside or to the outside.
Here we go. Oh, nice.
He had a great drop kick.
Yep.
No one ever talks about him having a great drop kick, but he did.
Oh. Unfortunately, I think some of the stuff is largely unremembered.
Ooh, nice move there by Pillman. Slick.
Yep.
Throwing him right to the outside.
Well, that's Pillman.
Suicide dive by Brian Pillman. Wow, nice. And the crowd's loving it. Crowd is back, baby. The crowd.
I don't know about Bubba Rogers, but there's a few guys there who look like they're going to be doing Dub Bears on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Is it George Wendt? Looks like him. Maybe not.
I don't think it's George Wendt. Ooh. How many heart attacks you have last week, Pat? Two, three.
I don't think that's going to feel good on Pillman's throat.
No, it's right not. There. No, it's not. And that's when Shivani or Heenan should be talking about that. Because you know Jim Ross would.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, Wright's been through a lot. Look what his hair's doing. I mean, geez.
Yes, good call. He's going back to the top.
Oh, nice. That is hard to pull off. Making it look, not making it look stupid.
Right. Yep.
It'll just look, well, that looked painful, though.
He definitely landed right on that left shoulder.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that. Yeah. I mean, I've seen guys get their collarbones broken off a lot less.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Tillman's got the advantage. Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is they're giving him time. I think, no Hogan on the show means, no Hogan on the show means everybody gets time.
They both went for the drop kick. Right, both had the same idea. Yep.
Yep.
You mean that Dave Sullivan against DDP isn't going to go long? It's not going to be a long match?
It's an arm wrestling match. It was originally supposed to be a singles match, but they decided to do the arm wrestling match here. So to set up the big match at Bash at the Peach.
Which I'm sure everyone paid to see.
Well, couldn't wait, yes. Well, yes.
And
it
I
led
believe,
to the debut
believe,
of a, but it led to the it led to the WCW debut of a true legend, so
Ralph the Rabbit?
No. Well him, yeah, but
oh, Blackjack Brown's in the first row too. I just noticed.
Wow, this is quite an event. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Pillman's exhausted. Yeah. What happened there? What happened?
His knee gave out.
Oh my god. Oh, gave out again. Yep.
Okay. Well, yeah. He just pointed out he's not favoring a knee. Oh, sucker to man.
Oh, what a drop kick!
It made it look out. Made it look like he really tagged him.
Yeah.
Oh. You'd have to see. I mean, you'd have to have a slow mo replay to show that he did. So.
Yep. That was a great.
That was nice.
Yeah, hell of a spot.
And of course, it's not the finish because pro wrestling. Oh.
Oh no.
Yes.
He crotched him.
And getting your crotch bisected by a steel cable. That's not the finish either. Oh, well. Not a lot, yeah. All right, here we go. Oh. A
little reversal, nice. A little chain wrestling nice. Here. Whoa.
Oh. Okay, there, yeah. Okay, I think I saw the contest winner there. The front row.
Oh, on the other side.
Yeah, on the other side. Oh, look, they sat down on it. Now, that's a good finish.
Awesome finish, yep.
Good job, folks.
He out-wrestled him. He just outsmarted him right there. Hey. 16-minute match, wow.
I know.
Gave him a lot of time. Well, I feel like they trusted Pillman a lot. They knew he could handle that, yeah.
There he is.
Oh, yeah, yep. Yep, I could see why he won. Up, handshake, and the hug.
Raises his hand, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Putting him over.
Yeah. Doing the right thing. This is one we'll remember for a long, long time, says Tony Schiavone. And yeah, perhaps not so much, but.
Seems like they had big plans for Alex Wright.
They did. Yeah.
Good finish.
And Heenan with the, I don't know what that's called. Finish for the finish. All right, this is the arm wrestling contest. Now, you're asking what's at stake in the arm wrestling contest between Dave Sullivan and Diamond Dallas Page? Well, if Page wins, he gets custody of Ralph the Rabbit. And if Dave Sullivan wins, he gets a date with the Diamond Doll. And I guess there's a video package which is going to explain this.
Seems like a fair trade.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, eventually he would learn to ask for more for a date with Kimberly, I think. But that's, but that's another story, which we won't do here. Oh, yeah, on Page's winning arm wrestling matches against the Great Enhancement Performers. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, that's not nice. Yeah. And Max Muscle. Absolutely, Dallas.
Good old Max Muscle.
Yeah. Max Muscle did his job. Yep. Hey.
DDP. What do you think about DDP at this point? A little too many gimmicks going on?
Yeah. No, he'd gone down from like 12 to 9. Better. He's got the gimmick that matters, which is Kimberly.
Yep.
Yep. Right. Okay. Van Hammer. Oh man, heavy metal Van Hammer. No. Oh.
Come on, Hammer.
Okay. Oh man. It's a close one. I think Hammer's gonna do it. Oh, look. Oh, no. Max Muscle is bracing him. Come on. And Kimberly's rooting for Van Hammer. It's pretty obvious.
Yes.
Oh, no. Gee, Dick Patrick somehow missed that.
Come on, Nick.
Yeah. Oh, the chest bump. Very nice. Nice. What I like about Kimberly is she's not Miss Elizabeth. There's only, yeah. There have been too many people trying to do that.
Right.
All right.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Yeah. Ralph the Rabbit. What were they doing here?
Nothing good.
And I heard that a lot of people were saying that he looked too much like the Hulkster backstage.
Oh man!
So maybe
okay. They'd already played that out though.
Yes, him
being the number one Hulkamaniac. Yeah.
Yes, with the Evad stuff. Yeah, but you think that's why they gave him like a basically nothing? Like you look too much like Hogan. Let's make you into this whole joke.
Yeah, let's give him a feud with Paige. That's not giving somebody a feud with, you know, getting to be Hogan's pal. Usually that ends up leading to you turning on Hogan and working with him. And that wasn't happening here.
Right. So, yeah. Even though he was a good heel as an equalizer. I mean, not up the card, you know, lower card, but he could do the heel thing as equalizer. And he's a big boy.
Okay. Yeah.
You gotta love that robe.
Right. Oh, that's a great robe. Yeah, absolutely.
It's weird, like WCW, they're not really known for complete cheesiness. This more seems more like a WWF thing. You know what I mean? Like Ralph the Rabbit.
Just... arm wrestling contest for a date with the Diamond Doll. Well, hey.
Well, that that sounds good.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. All right. Here we go. Yay! Hi! All right. Yes, Mr. Las Vegas himself.
So he's got the jacket, the sunglasses, the rings. The
coat.
Yeah, he's got the cigar. Yep. Got a diamond doll. He's got Max Muscle.
That's the gimmick. He's got gimmicks piling top of gimmicks. That is the gimmick.
He's got a lot going
eventually,
on.
Eventually, the gimmick would be the diamond cutter.
Yep.
And things started to go better for him. Yeah, things started to go better for him when he was, you know, when he was in the power plant every night and, you know,
yes.
And kept working, yeah.
Just wear the jeans, too, and just do the diamond cutter. But the jeans would come a little bit later, but really, get that diamond cutter over. He's chewing the gum, too, and he's got the earrings. He's got a lot going on.
There we go. Good luck, Dave.
Wow, an EVAD sign. Yeah. What in the world?
All right.
That had to be a plan.
Daytona Beach.
There's no way.
Daytona Beach's favorite son.
There's no way somebody really made that sign.
Oh, they took away the I Want to Be a Hulkamaniac song, which I'm sure he appreciated. I know I appreciated them taking away that song. Dave's Doll. There we go.
Who owns that song? You got to wonder. Is that a Jimmy Hart song?
It's got to be, right?
Wow. I want to be a Hulkamaniac.
I want to beat up a Hulkamaniac. Hulkamania sucks.
What was it like? Have fun with my family and friends. Yeah, it was a great song.
Yeah.
Wow, so Nick Patrick, is he going to be the ref here? Even though he screwed up the
set? Yes.
Wow, come on. You can't have him be the ref.
Right. Oh, yeah. Do you think Evad's going to leave the building right now?
I don't know. He should save himself the embarrassment, no?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Even though he specifically signed on for this, he should definitely leave the building now and save everybody. He should save everyone the embarrassment. Right? Yeah.
There's no way Sullivan's winning this, is he? Oh, my God, he's doing this. Yeah, he's doing it.
He's getting ready. Oh, the rabbit was a present from Diamond Doll to Dave.
She loves him. I didn't remember that. But
she likes him. Yeah.
I kind of like that WCW hat, to be honest.
Yeah, that's nice. I could use one of those. Okay, here we go. All right. Here we go. Okay. Oh, nope. Doesn't like the grip. That's the old Jesse Ventura thing.
Yep.
Okay. Up. Okay. Up. They're bringing the camera up from the. Okay. Here we go.
Evad. Oh man.
Here it is, Evad. DDP.
DD me.
Oh, people are getting frustrated.
Dude, come on, Paige. What are you doing?
Clap, clap, clap. Right. Yeah, there we go.
Crowd's kind of getting into it. I'm shocked.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's a time-honored formula. And here we go.
Who are you rooting for here, by the way? D-pad or DDP?
I don't think I have a rooting interest here. I don't know what the payoff is if DDP gets the rabbit.
I think if I remember correctly, they were kind of hinting that he was going to eat it, right? Or he was going to kill it, right? Wasn't that the whole thing?
Yeah, maybe that was it.
He wanted to get, quote unquote, rid of the rabbit.
Max Muscle's helping out. Oh no, Nick Patrick sends him back. Oh, here we go again.
Look at the facial expression on Evad. He might lose.
Yay! He did it! He beat him fair and square. He gets a date with the Diamond Doll.
I can't believe he did it.
Oh no. Yeah.
Time Dallas shocked.
Oh, Tony Schiavone actually picks up the plot point that she bumped into Dallas and distracted him, which I didn't see, but
I think the camera missed it.
The cameraman didn't see. Yeah. Oh, he's got to mention it, I guess, then.
And Nick Patrick was out of position as well. Uh-oh, dissension with Max Muscle and DDP.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Aw, there we go. It's okay, buddy. It's okay. It's okay. Oh, they blame it on Kimberly. Okay.
Makes sense.
I didn't do anything. Aww. And now she's getting browbeaten.
It's so funny. No,
they have the date, and they have the date, and during the date, a singing telegram shows up from Diamond Dallas Page. Remember that?
Yes, yes.
Who was the singing telegram guy?
Ooh, great question. I don't remember. Damn.
Glenn Gilberti.
Wow. Yep. Nice. A little disco. Nice.
Oh, man. Dave's Doll. He goes and tears up the Dave's Doll sign. That's good. Oh, Kimberly. Oh, that's what happened. Kimberly stopped Max Muscle from cheating, and that cost DDP the arm wrestling match.
There we go. Better camera angle. Yeah. I guess it was the director's fault there because they had the camera angle. They just didn't cut to it. Yeah.
That's good. That was good stuff. But yeah. Glad they finally got to show it. Oops. All right. Me and Gene Okerlund. Yes.
Do you think that the Diamond Doll wanted to go on this date with Dave Sullivan?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I think
she made the oops, I screwed up face.
Yeah, true. I feel like maybe, maybe she's not going to mind this date.
Yeah. I don't think she did.
They always paired her. Like, remember the booty man? And she was the booty babe. It was just like, come on. She deserved better. Yep.
You saw what happened in that match, Max? Absolutely.
Anyway. Mean Gene's the best.
Yeah, Max Muscle's back there. He's like a huskier Brad Garrett.
I can see that. Okay. Do you agree with DDP's assessment that Dave Sullivan is zero? Do you agree with that?
Well, I mean, you mean as a wrestler? Yeah. Dave Sullivan's a great guy.
Yes.
He was not the best wrestler, but, you know. I mean, he made that, you know, he went all over that stupid gimmick. Yeah. So.
Not his fault they gave him the
gimmick. Got to respect that. Okay, so now you're probably asking yourself, well, Bagwell's injured.
Yes.
Who steps in to face Craig the Pitbull Pittman?
I'm hoping it's Hacksaw. I'm hoping.
Gee, maybe our cameras will follow them on the date, says Tony Schiavone.
Oh, they're going to follow. So
now
again,
chanting weasels in the background.
Pittman's doing double duty, as we mentioned.
Yes. Okay. Okay. On the pregame show, he said, Pittman said, Pittman said Pittman announced that he was going to wrestle twice, so he won on the pre-show.
Yep.
And then Yeah, so it's going to be Jim Duggan. All right. So this is our main event for this episode. Honor America.
It's a pretty damn good main event.
Yep. Ho!
Main event anywhere in the country.
That's right. Your former U.S. champion. Hacksaw Jim, former Mid-South champion, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Hey, tough guy.
Always over. Always a crowd favorite.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Everybody likes Jim Duggan.
USA.
So Heenan actually points out the correct answer, which, hey, he's wrestling another great American, the former Marine.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's so astute. That's why you gotta love the brain.
Yes. USA. Right. Okay. From Paris Island. Yay. Great gimmick.
What did you think of? What did you think about him?
Yeah, great gimmick. I don't know. I forget why it didn't work out with him.
I do not remember either.
I mean, it's a take on the Sergeant Slaughter,
Yep.
But I mean, it had been long enough that I think he'd get away with it. Trying to remember why this didn't work out for.
Plus, he was a good mat wrestler. He was
he
very skilled.
No, I mean, I liked him. It's going to be a good day for the core.
The Code Red finish. This is kind of the first time I can remember. I know it's very popular in the MMA world, and a lot of the guys use it today. But it's the first time I remember seeing a finish.
Pittman left WCW in 1997. Oh, okay. Graduate of the power plant, trained by Jody Hamilton and Terry Taylor. And let's see. 2-2, mixed martial arts record, 2-2. Okay. Let's see. Left the military, went to the power plant.
Nice.
Let's see. Got on worldwide. Okay. Okay. He wasn't packaged as Craig Pittman until 95, so. Okay. Let's see. And then they start his feud with the Cobra. Yes, it's G.I. Joe against Cobra. Yes, sir.
Yep.
And
who, of course, was a fake Sting, of course.
Great Jeff Farmer, yes. That's right. Okay, let's see.
Look at Nick Patrick's getting in his face. Jesus.
Okay, then he winds up managed by Teddy Long, which, yeah, that'll lower your career here. Let's see here. Then they turn him back heel, and yeah, all right.
Didn't do much with this. Yeah, they didn't do much. Especially after 95, they just kind of forgot about him.
Yep, they did. I mean, he'd be on. Wouldn't be on a lot of Nitros. You'd see him on WCW Saturday Night, but this is after Nitro's on, so it's Saturday Night's a secondary show. Let's see, his last WCW match, May 24th, 1997, loses a TV title shot to Lord Steven Regal, at Lord Steven Regal. So, not a bad way to wind up, though.
Sounds like it'd be a pretty good match.
Yeah, gotta get those other episodes of WCW Saturday Night up. I know it's not a priority. I know that tomorrow we're supposed to get, tomorrow being Monday, we're supposed to get like 8 episodes of Superstars from 94.
Yay. How come they don't kind of make these, when they do the drops, like more of a priority? Like put out a whole season of Saturday Night. Put out another
year.
It's
not a priority. There's a limited number of people who the diehard fans who want that sort of thing, they're going to subscribe anyway, so. That's what they think anyway.
So they don't care.
They don't care. Well, now they really don't care because they've, you know, they've sold the U.S. content for $1 billion for, you know, and that's not a billion. That's not for forever. That's just giving, you know, NBC leasing. Universal the rights to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Leasing it for 5 years.
So what do you care? I mean, I get that part. But I liked it when they were uploading stuff on a regular basis, and you know, you get hidden gems every week, and you get some cool stuff.
And you felt like you were getting your money's worth.
Yeah, I did feel like I was getting something. I'm not saying it's a bad value. I mean, I think Peacock's a great value. You know, I mean, getting the WCW network, I mean, getting all the WWE content, plus getting the Peacock stuff on top of it for the same price is, you know, oh my, he landed on his feet. Did you see that?
Wow.
So he goes to jump over the top rope and instead of bumping, he like lands on his feet and then bumps.
And Duggan smiling gives like a wink to the camera, like, holy shit.
Yeah. You're like, oh man, I was like, wow.
Like, how
I did not see that coming.
Yeah. Like he was shocked.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, I mean, but it's Pittman's first pay-per-view match. So. You know, I mean, might as well go all out. I thought the character was working, but you know, it obviously wasn't a priority. It wasn't something they were interested in after Nitro got going. I mean, and when you put somebody with Teddy Long as your babyface manager, you're done.
Yeah,
I mean, there was just no coming back from that.
Yep, Joey Maggs, Jim Powers,
Ice Train.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh man, working over the knee though. Oh. Up in the morning, I liked his little rant in the aisle. He'd go, up in the morning with the rising sun, gonna go to the ring and have some fun. No, that's what he said.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, he's got the facials.
Yep. I always liked his style. I don't know, just that rugged style. He would have slick submissions, very smooth wrestler. He was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's see here. Okay,
so good heel.
Yes, exactly what you needed here. Okay. Let's see what we had here. Okay, I'm trying to think. Yeah, the episodes of Superstars we're getting. 8 episodes. Let's see. First episode yet. Oh, Tatanka versus Quang. Yeah, that's good stuff. Jeez. Sparky Plug versus Jeff Jarrett, week 2. Man. Debut of Shawn Michaels' Heartbreak Hotel, week 3. Wow, this is just
nice.
Oh, and the rematch between Sparky Plug and Jeff Jarrett. Ooh, Coco Beware versus IRS. Yeah. Let's see. Tatanka versus Quang again. My goodness. What the heck are they doing here?
Was that where we almost thought Sparky Plug was going to be the Intercontinental Champion?
Yes, I think it was. Razor versus Diesel on Superstars?
Look at them pulling that old
stuff. I think that's, I want to say that's from Raw, though. I don't know. Okay, let's see. Scott Steiner versus IRS. Mabel versus Quebecer Pierre and... Week 8 is going to be Luger versus Jarrett in the King of the Ring qualifier. Wow. So you get a lot of Jeff Jarrett. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
All right.
Yep. USA. USA.
Jeff Jarrett getting over with the wrestling fans nowadays.
Well, yeah, they're appreciating him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate a lot of what he did. The part where TNA revolved around him during a time when they had all that talent, I think was just a horrifically bad decision. Anyway, but you know.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. All right. Oh, he's got spinning toe again. Oh, nope. Oh, spun himself out of the ring. Duggan liked that bump, by the way. That's what I want a guy bumping for me, yeah.
Duggan is loving this. That's the second time he like looked at the camera and was like,
Duggan's having fun.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. right hand. Okay, come on. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Can't trade punches with Duggan. You're a wrestler, dude. Pittman should be trying to out-wrestle him.
Have you ever met Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
I have not.
Man, his hands are like bear claws. Like, they could wrap around my hand. They're gigantic.
Yep.
Would not want to get punched by the
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think there was a lot of money in, you know, in, I mean, Bill Watts obviously thought so, too. There was a lot of money in Jim Duggan, the serious wrestler from Mid-South.
Yeah.
Yep. But anyway, he probably, you know, he probably ended up making, he probably wasn't going to get a chance to do that in WWF. So, you take, you know, you do what you can.
And he was a great drill. Like, the B shows, he'd be in the main events, you know, when Hogan is in the A show. I mean, he definitely had his place. Under Hogan in the undercard.
First WWF show I went to, he was in the main event. Yep.
Oh, nice. Who was he wrestling?
Well, him and Tugboat were taking on Earthquake and Dino Bravo.
There we go. The Code Red. Code Red.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, but he's on the ropes. He's on the ropes and he won't break. Oh.
That's an interesting main event. Duggan and Tugboat. Or,
well, this is after Fred Earthquake Oddman. Had injured Hulk Hogan. So, Earthquake and Bravo against Duggan and Tugboat standing up for Hulk Hogan.
Okay. Something not bad, not bad. What year was that? That
90. Well, Heart Foundation and Demolition was also on the card too.
Yeah, that, so was be not, that was better. Late 90. Okay, all right. Yeah,
that was better. Oh no, he's got the boar. He's got the 2x4.
No, what is he doing?
Oh, so Pittman's already taken a loss, even though it's a DQ loss. And this feud's not over, I don't think.
If he connected with that shot, he would have killed Nick Patrick and killed Pittman. Man, he's viciously with the 2x4. Yes. Man. Yeah, there's Blackjack Brown. What the hell's going on?
Okay. And heading to the back. All right. So the attempted homicide notwithstanding. A tremendous victory there for Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Keeps Pittman strong, and Duggan doesn't have to take the loss.
That's right. And it was just kind of a last-minute thing they threw together, but I like it.
Yeah, not bad.
Okay, yeah.
And the crowd was into it.
Right. Okay, let's see what Mean Gene Okerlund has for us. Oh, let's hear Mean Gene Okerlund talk to the Blue Bloods before we wrap this up. Okay.
Hey, even though you guys wrestled, quote-unquote, last night and for the tag titles, you're wrestling again.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I love these.
His studios. Learned colleague.
Okay. My first main event was 1990. Not first main event. First show I went to was 1990 as well. Yeah. Main event was Warrior versus Rick Rude.
Hey, could be a lot worse.
Very good.
Could have been Warrior versus Papa Shango, Warrior versus.
Great show.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's good.
Bushwhackers were licking people right in front of us.
They were licking and whacking their way through the competition. Yep.
Great show. My dad's friend was arguing with Iron Mike Sharp. I mean, it was an awesome. I mean, I remember it vividly.
That's
great. My God, 30 years ago, but it was awesome.
So, yeah, you are getting the Blue Bloods and the Nasties.
Tag titles on the line.
America is a country of decadence and debauchery, John.
It's a great point. I kind of agree.
Yes. He's doing it. He's doing this for Great Britain.
I love the way Mean Gene looks at Eden like he's disgusted with him. Like, I can't believe you're doing this gimmick.
I can't believe you're going along with this.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Right. Good. Oh yeah, Regal's so smooth, and Eden doesn't have to say anything.
Yeah, perfect for him. Yeah, not a great talker, obviously. Great worker, not a great talker.
He's fine. Okay, that's coming. Okay, but yeah, I think it's a good stopping point because we're gonna get okay. Let's stop it here in 49:33, so that's where we wrap it up this week.
We'll be right back.
Do you want to go behind the scenes at World Championship Wrestling and find out what really happened from one of the greatest minds in the history of the business, the infamous booker behind WCW's success with the New World Order? Other podcasts weren't there. Let's clean up the fantasy bullshit, give you real facts and real stories with the Taskmaster himself. Yes, this is Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan, available on the Creative Control Network.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com. And, good hour. Obviously, next week, I think that's the feature next week, is the Nasty Boys defending the tag team title against the Blue Bloods, plus, I think we also get, as if that wasn't enough, I think we also get Harlem Heat against Bunkhouse Buck and Dick Slater and Arn Anderson against the Renegade. And, well, geez, now I'm depressed. Okay. But anyway, I hope everybody enjoys Hell in a Cell. John, tell people how they can keep tabs on you and your 300 shows via social media.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. And of course, like I mentioned before, Patreon, patreon.com/tmptempire.
Okay, and visit us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Jim Valley is at Jim Valley, and he'll be back next week. I'll leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. It doesn't matter where. We're on all of them. And we appreciate you, and leaving the review doesn't take that long, fortunately. And if you'd like to know more about Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Craig the Pitbull Pittman, Diamond Dallas Page, Max Muscle, or Dave Sullivan, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or the Wrestling Observer, or you can go check out your local library app where they're all in books.
Join us next week. Same way back time, same way back channel.
Good enough. And don't forget to join. Don't forget to join John on Taskmaster Talks right here on Creative Control Network. Pick the brain of Kevin Sullivan, the mastermind, the guy behind the pencil for so much of the for the beginnings of Nitro and what would be coming later in 1995. Good fun show. A lot of people enjoy it, and you should be one of them. Yes, anyway.
Same way back time, same playback channel. There you go. I screwed that up. So there you go.
I never would have noticed. No, you did great, John. Thank you. Thanks again for coming on the show. And until we do this again, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.